Kerala,
you see,
and one in Okotoks.
Who is that, Cowan?
Kerala, and Wanda from Saskatchewan in Okotoks, Alberta.
You know, you're using some big words on this there.
Hello, Bungie.
Big words.
Saskatchewan, Okotoks,
they're Canadian.
You know where the Great Sand Hills are?
No.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Miss Marilyn in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Marilyn. We're live on BBS.
Okay, let's go.
Wynn is in here.
He's out there.
Yeah.
Tell your kitty cat to say hi to Wynn.
Wynn is in.
Hi, Wynn.
Welcome,
Corey.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Francis, calling in from Concord, California.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Who's hosting tonight?
Who's hosting?
What's your name?
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hey, Ron. Good.
Heiss is temporarily incognito. He's in Holland with his, sending a funeral for his mother.
Oh, dear. Well, let's all send him some love and light. Yes.
Oh, we have been.
Yeah, but you got to get in between the drinks because they're having a boogie.
Is that Dwayne?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Who else talks like that?
Who else would it be?
Wayne, you should speak for yourself.
I do. I do it quite well, thank you. Do you know what aguita means in Spanish?
No.
Try it, you'll like it.
Welcome to NitroFocus. NitroFocus is a powerful.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hello, everyone. This is Tony in San Clemente.
Hey, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Good to hear you.
Hey, Tony.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove. I'm greeting tonight.
Hey, Tony, we were thinking about you when we drove through San Clemente.
Girls.
Where are you now?
Two college girls reunited up in Okotoks, Alberta, and I'm from Saskatchewan from Love Deli.
Well, somebody else answered.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
George from California, Visalia, California.
Hello, George. Good to hear you.
How's it
going? Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
This is Jenny from Davenport, Iowa.
Hey, Jenny. Glad to hear you.
Thank you.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
Did I hear Wynn on the call already?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah, he's here.
Where is he?
North Hollywood. Mexican Spanish area, he said.
Just south of Star 6.
Chewing on a burrito somewhere. Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location. If you want to.
Hey, Lucy. Are you out there? Wynn claims to be a gypsy today.
Oh, I see.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Mimi and Sawarita.
Mimi. Is that Mimi?
Yeah.
Hi, Mimi.
Hi.
Hey, Mimi.
So, I'm not sure if the topic tonight should be healing the inner gypsy or awakening the inner gypsy.
Yeah.
Both of them sound great.
Healing the awakened inner gypsy.
Yeah.
And I wish the inner gypsy would pass an email on to Mimi so I could get a message to her from somebody that's very grateful.
Oh, I did pass it on.
I like your poem, Mimi.
Pardon?
I like your poem.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Actually, it was
wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I just got to learn how to record it. It's a song. Really nice. Thank you.
We just had somebody else call in. Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Monday Night Conference call. Please state your name and location.
Jackie in Pittsburgh. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Kathy. Good to hear you.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don in Northern Ohio.
Okay, welcome to the Monday Night Conference call. Please state your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Welcome,
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy.
Thanks so much. Hope all everybody's well.
If someone is listening on the internet, you know, we're going to do like questions and answers. At least that's the idea. So if you have one and you're on the internet, you can call BBS and tell whoever answers, put you through, okay? And BBS's number is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. We don't usually use their service because especially if we're doing channeling, we can't interrupt the call. But tonight we can interrupt and good time to ask your hidden question. It's not going to be a channel call, I don't think. Unless Terry knocks me on the shoulder and tells me they want to say something. Which sometimes it happens. But we get the idea that they're listening. So be good.
I will.
For goodness sake.
Let's see. It's now 7 p.m., I think. We can start. All right. Hey, it's Wynn. Wouldn't say your name and your city.
It's Percy, North Carolina.
Hey there. I hope you guys are thinking of questions. This is called Stump Wind. Let's see. You're all muted. And I'm going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 24th, 2014, and Wynn and Terry in North Hollywood. And this is our Monday night call where we are, I announced this call that I was going to be taking questions from people. And Don Herman, this is a good chance to ask all those questions that we never answer that we send. But I'm answering them. So if I don't know the answer, I'm going to be stuck. You always ask questions that I can't answer. Sometimes do. And we're doing some interesting things. You know, many of you know, I've heard me say that I've been a songwriter. I guess I'm still a songwriter. And there was a, keep watching, because this is going to be exciting. This is going to be really exciting. I don't know if Billy's on the line. But about a month ago, I got an email from someone who is
asking a question for a Wednesday call. And they were kind of saying, I'm really talented and I'm in Hollywood and I have no money and I want to be, you know, I'm here wanting to be successful. And that's all they said. And I emailed them back and I said, geez, I know all about that because I was in Hollywood for probably a good 6 or 7 years and I had a couple of my songs recorded and then my life fell apart. And then I sent him one of my songs. And then he sent me a YouTube that he did. And Billy, are you on the line? Please, star 61. Hello, Billy. Calling Billy. It's not on. Okay. And so I looked at his YouTube, and he was totally awesome. He had this very romantic song called With You, and you can all go look it up. And it had 1.3 million hits, okay? And he is the most charming fellow with a fantastic voice. And I think he's going to be really successful. And so he loved my songs, and I loved his style, and I liked the song that he did on YouTube. If any of you want to go look it up, it is called With You, and his band is called Billy Dean and the Rebels. Billy Dean, and Dean is spelled D-E-E-N. So we've worked out two of my songs, and we went into the studio and cut them. And it's coming out really exciting. And if I was really on top of it, I would play one now. But they're not in an MP3 format. And that's the only thing. I have to convert it. So sometime soon, we'll play a song. And I'll introduce Billy to you. He's British. He's about 30 years old. He's like, reminds me a little bit of Paul McCartney. In certain ways, has a great British accent and a super, super voice. So look up his song on YouTube. So now I started thinking about my song. And I thought it was, you know, I for years now, I have not presented myself to this group as a songwriter. In fact, I haven't presented myself to anyone as a songwriter because I felt that it's kind of like if I didn't want to overshadow the work I was doing with the Elohim and, you know, just be talented for people. Because people hear my song and I mean they're really good. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects. If you hear my lyrics, there's a lot of amazing aspects that I was writing about years ago, but I didn't have the full understanding of it. I, you know, something in me knew it, and I didn't know how to live up in my life to the lyrics I was writing. And I could only do it when I was hitchhiking, and or when I was traveling around and playing a little coffee shop. But I didn't know how to stop and be the lyric. And so it became one of the things about being at least the kind of writer and that I am is that I would be writing about inner experiences, perception, and it was like when I was anonymous, it was very easy to tap into my creative energy. And then as soon as I became recognized, I would screw it up. And I would think people were looking at me. And then I would start to feel, how would I say this? I would feel self-conscious, like they were looking at me. And I think that all these calls we've been doing have gotten me totally over that, and probably Terry as well, because you know, for the longest time we would do these calls we're doing now, and it was like it wasn't happening. Did that really happen? Because what we're doing was so far out, it was just hard. Didn't want to be recognized. Didn't want, you know. And sometimes when people ask me questions and I kind of brush it off, it's because, not because I don't appreciate your asking the question, it's that I don't want to have the slightest temptation to look at myself from outside myself. I mean, I can back off and look at it and say, we are doing amazing things here. We are. And you guys are part of it. We're doing it together. And I know that we have pushed the limits of things that are normally considered possible in this realm. We've pushed the limit. And when you're pushing the limit, you don't know if it's going to give or not. it seems like it's so impossible that, and you push and nothing gives, and then finally, little by little, it gives, and it's like we're building something, not in the world, we're building something out of the world, and we're bringing it into the world. And thus far, we're keeping it not corrupted. And in order to keep it not corrupted, you have to let it happen and realize that every moment is the next moment. And when you do something awesome, you have to be able to move right out of it so that you don't sit in the reflection of the awesomeness. And I remembered when I first starting to perform in front of audiences that I was really challenged, because for quite some time it felt like nobody paid attention to me. I wasn't the best singer. I was a good songwriter, but I was not a good singer. And I was saying, how do I get these people to hear me? And then somehow I did it. And when they first, when suddenly there was that total attention that an audience would be paying to me, I would freak out. I'd say, oh my God, they're paying attention. And then I would fall all over myself. And eventually, I had to get very detached from people, the attention that people were paying me, and even the accolades that they were paying me, so that I could hold the energy and perform for an hour. And I know that that experience that I'm carrying over, I'm doing now on these calls. And I can't play a song that Billy and I did. I'll do it some other time. But I feel like it's okay. We've established our work pretty firmly, at least with a pretty solid small group. It's not that small. There's hundreds of people that are listening to our calls. But in terms of the world, small group, okay? And I'm thinking, imagine, just imagine, this is like the way my mind works. Imagine that we had a hit song, and this fellow was doing it, and he understands our work. Imagine how many people could be reached through that. And there was somebody that said, if you think it, it's possible. So I'm thinking it. You can all think it with me. And I thought I would play one of my songs with Nisi, just to announce my self as an artist, as well as everything else we're doing. And you'll see, when you listen to this song, even though I had no idea groups sold. I have no idea of all the things we've been learning. This is like a group soul song. And it was one of those songs that it was really hard for me to live up to. Although I certainly had the experience of it. So let me see if this will work and I'll play it. I think you'll enjoy it. And then it'll be on the replay track if you'd like to download it and get it. Hang on.
I had more time that I could spend with you. Now if I had two of me, I would send one to your door, and I'd stay with you, and I'd hold you close till you didn't have those blues anymore, and you could wear my smile inside your heart. I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile and be happy if I only had two of me. Going crazy, you're not the only one. But just what can one man do with a world that's coming undone? Now if I had a million of me, I would pass them all around to everyone who would need a friend. I'd turn those frowns upside down, and you could wear my smile inside your heart. I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile I just have one of me, and I know how to sing a song, so I put my love inside it, and now everyone can sing along, and you can wear my smile inside your heart. I will sing inside you when your morning starts, and if you wear my smile and be happy, then I really would have a million of me.
There's Wynn's group soul song before he knew there was a group soul. It could actually do that. That's amazing, the idea that we have sources in other dimensions that have the ability to touch each of you as much as you can allow it to occur. and touch your heart, make you feel loved in a really personal way. They really pay attention. And then we have little miracles happening all the time, like Wayne and Lucy working with somebody. And, you know, if you're on the line, and I know many of you are on the line that are saying, when is mine? Where is mine? I can't promise you the answer to that, but I can say, hang in there. And keep in mind that it's taken lots of lifetimes to block ourselves, to close ourselves down, to believe in the consensus reality of this realm and not think there's anything more to it. Then there's others of you that are on this line that are extremely open, and that you all have the gift of sharing the potential gift, of sharing these blessings with other people. And you don't do it by making them believe something. You do it by caring. People can tell when you care. And assuming they're at least open to it. I won't say everyone can tell. And some people will take your care and abuse it. And you have to, if that happens sometimes, you have to not let it get to you. You have to say, okay, they really don't know what they're doing, and move on. And it's not really great to keep extending care and emotion to someone who's abusing you. But it is okay to keep inwardly sending them loving energy. And let, I have found that by doing that, sometimes everything shifts, and it might take months. It might even take a couple of years. But who cares? It's better than judging them for not responding to you. In fact, if you're doing that, you're missing some really pieces of this higher game that we're playing. I don't know if game is the right word, but each of you is learning to touch. I won't say each of you, but many of you are learning to touch that part of yourself, which is one with all that is, one with every person that's out there. And then, as you learn to touch into that, the next step is to learn to master it. And that means that instead of just silently feeling it, you find ways to actually transmit it, let somebody respond, and have reciprocation. So on that note, I'm going to see if any of you have questions. Why don't you do a *6 or call BBS? And again, the number on BBS is 888-429-5471. And if nobody has any questions, that's okay. Or if you're afraid to ask your question, get your courage up and don't think it's going to be stupid. Although I may say I can't answer it. Give it a shot. You know, one of the things is that I have studied. I don't answer questions.
I have a question.
Okay, who is that now? Oh, that's Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Yes. Hi. Could you tell us, explain to us how we clear something out of our tracks?
How do you clear something out of your track?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to speak from my own experience now. This may not be the experience that the Elohim would, this would not be the answer that the Elohim would say. But from my own experience, And I think that I have been succeeding in doing this because I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect master. And I have grumpy days, and I have days that I don't want to face things. And, you know, there were long periods of my life where my shadow side would predominate and would run me. And I would say, I can't go out. I don't want to face anybody. I don't want anyone to see me today. And for me, what I saw was I had to do things in spite of my resistance that were above my shadow. And I used to think that I would clear my shadow, and then I could do anything and I could do things. And it didn't work that way. I had to
What do you mean by above your shadow?
Well, like, say for example, I could be coming to the call. Now, I'm not having this resistance now. But I could say, I don't want to go on a call today. I don't feel good today. You know, some days, it's still true. You know, we get tired. So I don't want anyone to see this part of me. I want to look good in front of people. There's days when I'm really charismatic, but today is not one of those days. Now, I could say, all right, I'm not showing up, but I will show up. I will do something. I will do the things that I know are creating service, even against certain inner resistances that I have. And over time, what happens is the resistance starts to go away. And I move into a comfort zone of doing those things. Now, it doesn't mean that anything negative just disappears and I can say it's not there, because it's still there. But it's just smaller. It's not controlling me, whereas in the past, it used to control me. I mean, I'm trying to think of things in people's track. Okay, say for example, some people have been deeply wounded in love, okay? And they're so afraid to be vulnerable after being wounded. And they will withdraw from anything that makes them vulnerable. And they'll think they have to protect themselves because no one's ever going to hurt them again. And that could be like a track situation, okay? And that if, knowing what I know now, I would say, no, I've got to get out. I've got to go meet people. I'm going to ask someone out. And it doesn't mean I have to fall all over them. It doesn't have to mean I'm going to be in love with them. But at least I am out there. And I am moving above my resistance. Okay? And that is how my experience is a very effective way of clearing your track. And maybe it never clears completely, but you become highly functional and you do better things and you become more successful and you have more community with other people. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
What would you say? You don't have to answer this. I don't want to put you on the spot. But, you know, if you were going to look at yourself, what is the part of your... I don't want to answer. But I'll ask the question. What's the part of yourself where you see resistance and obstacles? And what could you do? What actions could you take that are above that part of yourself and not let it hold you back? You follow? You don't have to answer that. But you know, that's the key question, to look at yourself and be honest and say, I'm mad as hell, you know, and I'm not going to... You can use even anger, which as a thrust, in not to be angry to other people, but to tap into your anger and your frustration and your feeling of compression and say, I'm moving through this. I'm not letting anything stop me. And, you know, I go into that. When I go into that, you know, I make things happen. And it amazes me because I take that energy and use it as fuel, dissipate it. Determination, right. Determination. But it also invokes higher forces because it brings in synchronicity. It, you know,
yeah, and your intent. It brings in intent too, right?
Yeah, it brings in intent. Because otherwise, there's this little voice in you that's saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. Nobody's going to like me. No one's ever going to love me. I'm really worthless, okay?
Right. Now, that sounds like me.
Pardon me? What do you say? Did you say that sounds like you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like all of us. We all have that part of ourselves. Don't feel like you're the only one. And so it just takes thrusting anger intent to say, I'm going to do this. And you'd be surprised what can happen when you tap into that in yourself and what you can activate. Okay? And that's how I think you have to move through your track. And you're very welcome. I have no experience of sitting around waiting for those feelings to leave and having them ever leave, okay? So if you are in that space of waiting to be ready and waiting for your shadow to disappear, you're going to probably have to come back a few more lifetimes so you figure out it won't. You have to act above it, okay?
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you for asking a question. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, you're all a bunch of big chicken. Okay, go ahead.
Is this Don?
Don, I knew you would ask a question. Go ahead.
I asked a question a few weeks ago about what I was calling spontaneous enlightenment events. And
yeah.
I know a number of people around the world, I hear people on the coast had these events where, you know, you're just doing something and then all of a sudden, like my father had an experience and he said it was like an atomic bomb went off. And that he suddenly knew everything. And there's a guy on the coast to coast recently. He had that sort of the same thing. He said he saw a bunch of geometric shapes floating around his head. They spoke to him, and then he said he suddenly felt like he knew everything. And other people. I was wondering if you had that kind of experience, or what do you think's going on there when people have those kind of experiences?
Well, I can say I've had numerous aha experiences in my life, and where suddenly I saw how things fit together, and then we keep it was like keep building. It's like there was no end point to it. You know, sometimes when people talk about an enlightenment experience, it sounds like you've arrived somewhere, and I don't think you ever arrived. Although you can arrive at the next level, and it looks so awesome that, you know, there's this temporary kind of exaltation that you can experience. But I don't think it sticks. Now, I may be wrong, because it doesn't work that way for me.
Yeah, I mean, the people I've heard that had the experience, I mean, obviously you can't remember everything, so you have the memory of having had the momentary experience of sort of knowing everything, or at least in a higher level, but you can't.
Right.
I mean, you can't retain it though when you get back
right.
to normal existence.
I mean, the key is how do you put that into into benefit? You know, how do you put it into manifestation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that I've had lots and lots and lots of experience of exaltation at different points in my life. And I know that I can put And she's, you know, I'm talking about myself, the interesting phenomena. I know I have a lot of understanding of how things work, but I don't think about it at all. I don't think that I have understanding. My mind isn't thinking that I understand anything. It's just when I start talking, I start tapping into things, mostly because I'm tapping into something that somebody else is going through, that probably I went through that, this life or some other life, and I understand the process of what they're going through. And so it taps into my own inner wisdom where I can play it back. But I don't think about it. I don't think about the idea of being enlightened. And that was something that I thought of many years ago. I thought of it all the time. And I think, I'm not sure if it's a good model. Maybe it is. If it works for you, it's a good model. But the idea of thinking about enlightenment, it's like thinking that one day you're going to get somewhere and know everything. And one of my favorite English poets is a guy by the name of William Blake. Did you ever hear of William Blake?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He had this one saying that he said that I read years ago. I read it when I was in Berkeley, and I read it when I was hungry for experience. I wanted to feel love. I wanted to know things. I was going to all these teachers and whatever. And many people talk about different techniques and different ways of becoming quote-unquote enlightened. Some people say be celibate. Some people say be a renunciate. Some people say go into a spiritual community. Some people say set up an altar. Some people say do this prayer, this mantra. And I was looking and experiencing all those things. And then I read William Blake, and he said, it was the path of excess that leads to the palace of wisdom. Path of excess. And I said, this doesn't sound like anything that anyone else is doing that I'm looking at. What does he mean, the path of excess? And then I went into excess. I said, I have to experience life. And through experience, I learned things. I learned what was too much, what was too little, what happens when you do this, and what happens when you do this drug. I haven't done that for a long time, but when I was younger, I was experimenting. And it's like, I wouldn't recommend other people do that, but I will tell you that it is a way to learn things. Because when you learn things through reading them, you don't really understand it deeply. When you learn it through your experience, then you can impart it to someone else because you know it frontwards and backwards. You live through it. So I don't think, in using the word spontaneous enlightenment, I think that that's just one step up a ladder. I don't think people get the whole enchilada in one kind of spontaneous experience unless they are so close to it, unless they've had a huge amount of past lifetime, and that one little thing pushes them over the edge. And perhaps in that case, somebody might have a huge, huge experience that seems to happen in a moment, but I would bet that they were preparing for it for a long time inwardly. And does that make sense?
Yeah. I remember we asked Terry once, she channeled an answer, but we asked, like, what was enlightenment? I don't remember exactly
right.
What she said, but she said, something that I wasn't expecting. It might have been something like to be of service or something like that, which is not really the answer I was expecting, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, you know, the idea is, you know, when you think of enlightenment, you think of, you know, things that other people don't know, and you have things to tell them that they don't know. When you think of compassion, it brings in a whole other stream of ideas that's different than that. It brings in the ability to express caring for another person. Caring because you look at them and you see yourself in them, and you give to the part of you that's in them. And as long as you can hold that energy, you can do that for a long time. And they have to hold the energy as well, because they have to hold the energy of gratitude, which allows that to keep flowing. Then if it keeps flowing, you can have a very long-term relationship with that person. And usually, it goes two ways, because in those times when you have compassion, you build up enough trust, enough resonance that they can give it to you, and you can receive it. That, you know, that, I think, might be an octave above enlightenment, maybe, you know? It's why some people, when we've asked our sources about different teachers, you know, talking about the Buddha, talking about Confucius, talking about different people, at one point I remember they said, we tend to really like Jesus, and it's because Jesus was such a master of expressing compassion. Not how much he knew, not how much, you know, people could walk up and say, oh, there's Jesus, he's really wise, but because they could feel that he was genuinely cared about them. So it's a very interesting thing I never looked at, the idea of compassion versus enlightenment. And the two kind of probably work hand in hand. Enlightenment, to me, seems to be able to be able to see the patterns in life and identify them and look at them from an exalted place. And then wisdom would be the ability to share the patterns you're seeing that can help other people have aha experiences. And compassion is the ability to share love and care in a way that goes into the silence, that you're just there for somebody and they're there for you. But it doesn't have to go back and forth in an equal way, because when the energy is flowing and when there's gratitude, it goes on for a long time, maybe the rest of your life, maybe the rest of all your lifetime. Maybe it becomes a relationship that just holds through all existence. And you've created a group energy with that person with no sacrifice of your individuality. But thank you so much. You want to say anything before we go to the next question?
Thanks. That was interesting.
Yeah. Okay, now, you know, I'm just speaking from my experience. This is not the only talking. And I'm sharing stuff from my observation of life. And does anyone else have a question out there?
Hello?
There we go.
Yes, hello.
Is that,
how is the quickest way to get rid of karma?
The quickest way? Who is that asking that? Is that, oh, that's Saskatchewan, right?
It's Wanda. Yeah, that's right. It's Wanda.
Wanda?
Wanda.
Well, you know, when I was answering Marilyn, I was kind of answering that question. Because karma, let's look at it this way. This is the way of looking at karma. Karma only exists in a certain timeline. Do you understand what I mean by a timeline?
That's for sure, yes.
Okay. Karma exists in a timeline. And that there's timelines stacked upon each other. And that if you can access the timeline above your karma, and this is another way of saying what Marilyn asked about, how do you get rid of your shadow? Your shadow is a product of your karma, I would say. And when you look at oneness, the idea of oneness, the law of one, and that we're all part of each other, and then that's a very high timeline to have that awareness. Then you go into a lower timeline and you do something against another person. Well, in the higher timeline, you're doing it against yourself because they're you. And as you, we've all done things like that in the past. We have hurt people. We have been dishonest. We may have even been murderers. And it's like, if you can see this huge dance that goes on, that no one ever dies. They only leave this particular realm, and then they come back ready for round two and round three and round four. So as terrible as murder is, which it is, and I certainly am not recommending it, it's like you don't have to curse yourself for having done things in the past. And that the first step is forgiveness of the self. Forgiveness, no matter what you've done. And the second step is being of service, genuine service, value to other people. Because as you do that, that is above your karma, okay? And I guess the third thing is to be aware of your karma. Be aware of the pattern that your karma is creating in your life. So when they come up, you can identify them immediately, and that you can immediately, in that moment, when you observe the pattern, you can forgive yourself. And you can say, I know this is my pattern, and it's okay, and I'll move through it. The act of observing pattern, the observer automatically gets above the pattern. And so by observing, you're automatically starting the process of clearing the pattern. And it may not happen fast. It may not, but it works. And you have to be very honest with yourself about your patterns, okay? Like, for example, let's suppose you have a pattern that nobody likes. And it may be a real experience. Maybe people have a hard time liking you. And maybe you've done things in the past, and people pick up on that, and they're afraid of you, okay, because it's something you've done in the past. So you could say that you're living your karmic pattern. You've done something that was heinous, kindness, what's the word? Something grossly bad. I shouldn't use the word bad, but, grossly against the law of one. And it's still in your track, and it scares people. So now, you can watch that and observe it and say, there I am scaring people again. Okay, I forgive myself. I put that in the light. I'm moving on. And you do that as many times in a day, in a month, as you need to. And every time you do that, you're building an energy above that because you're observing it. And you're forgiving yourself. You're doing all the right things. You just have to reiterate it and reiterate it until it goes away. And know that it will go away. It will go away. And no matter, it may take longer than you wished it took. But if you don't give up on that process, you'll start releasing. So what did I say? I said forgiving yourself, observing it, and service, creating value for others in a genuine way, is above your karmic pattern. And, I remember when I first started with Daphne, and I started getting dream messages, and I didn't feel, there's no way at that time that I could begin to believe that I'm doing what I'm doing now. And I had all kinds of obstacles on top of me. But I started getting these little dream messages. And one of the dream messages was, through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity will go away. And, that ran around in my mind for quite some time. Through your dedication to love, serve, and care, and so I kept doing it. But it didn't happen right away, but I can say now that a lot of the patterns that I was experiencing 10 years ago are not there anymore. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. But forgiveness then for your past or from past lives and everything else also bring into karma, and the past lives are even harder to get rid of than the present karma, isn't it?
Well, I know that my patterns were not just from this life, okay? And you don't necessarily have to know the past life. You don't have to know it. You can look at patterns that keep repeating that you don't seem to understand where they come from, and obstacles that keep repeating, and constantly, okay, there's my obstacle. There's my obstacle again. There is my unworthiness again. You know, in many cases, what seems to be your fault wasn't even your fault. It was other people implanting ideas in you to keep you down. And, I don't know. I'm telling you what worked for me, and you can try it and see if it works for you. But don't expect immediate results. You have to let these things clear in God's time. And
yes.
you have to be patient with yourself. And you have to be relentless with your intent to clear things. But you can't clear them by going right into it. You know, when you go right into it, it only gets stronger. You can observe it. You can't go into it. That's my experience, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reach down to it and send a line to it without consuming it.
Right. You know, I used to have this little image that I would do when I would be inside a pattern that was screwing me up. When I was inside that pattern and I could look at the pattern, what I would do would be I'd take a hot air balloon in my imagination and I'd say, okay, I'm sticking this pattern in the gondola. And then in my imagination, I'd let that hot air balloon go up, up, and away until it was out of sight. And I would do that all day, do these balloons up. And that worked, you know? And have a sense of humor about it. There I am being oppressed again. You know, sometimes I come on these calls and, you know, because we do them 3 times a week and because I'm not always in the space that I'd like to be. Every time I'm doing a call, I get on the call and say, well, here I am being like this today, and I'll just own it, say it, observe it. And I am amazed when I do that how quickly the energy shifts, as opposed to another time I would have said, geez, I hope nobody notices that I'm really exhausted today. And then I would not be ashamed of it, and then I wouldn't do a good call. So I can see how it works. It does work. So thank you for your question. But
yes, thank you. You have to remember, shame is one of the polarities that you have to try to adjust and better.
Right. Well, again, it's just another thing to observe. Let's say there I am being ashamed. Then you start to say, I should be better. You know, one of the things about a lot of spirituality is that it gives a very strong idea of how you should be. You should be. And then when you're not matching up, you say, oh my God, I'm not loving, I'm not spiritual, something's wrong with me. And then you really start judging yourself that you're not matching up to your ideal. But my experience is the only way is to observe and rise up with it. And that if you do it consistently every day, you will be amazed over a few month period of time how things can shift. And you know what? We're almost ready to close the call today. God, thank you all of you who asked questions. You kept me from being here and saying, uh-oh, no one's interested.
Neutrality is the new thing.
Yeah. Anyone else have a fast question before we close the call?
Neutrality is the name of the game.
Neutrality, yes. Neutrality. And understand, being a master doesn't mean being perfect. It means perfectly handling everything that comes up in your own flow. And, okay, I'm going to unmute everybody. This is an
thank you.
Call. Thank you.
Mouse.
Thank you. Oh, is somebody on that? No. Okay. So, Terry, you want to say goodbye? Are you glad I did it, all that?
I think you did a really good job. And look to everybody.
So also,
you know,
you did wonderful. That's how we learn from the seed of somebody's paints.
Although it doesn't meet the term, did you try it yet? Yeah. I opened the bag, turned the potato over, and put it back in.
Thank you, Marilyn.
And you made me cry when your song was so beautiful. You made me cry, and it was beautiful. Thank you.
You made me cry, too.
Right. Me, too.
Have a great night.
Oh, nice.
Your conference recording has stopped.
I can't use that other one.
Wait. Right now,
bless you all.
Everybody,
Dwayne.
Goodbye.